Blog Talk Radio.
You're now in tune into the Eagles in Flight album with Apostle Marcus Dupree and Prophet Selena Dupree. Apostle Marcus Dupree is an apostle on a mission. Teaches the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, commissioning leaders, and empowering with an apostolic release. Prophet Selena Dupree is a prophetic intercessor. Birthing out sons and daughters is the prophetic. Eagle Wings International Ministry is located at Midland, South Carolina. They're teaching God's servants how to become leaders, always to edify and enhance a relationship with God. Also founders of Eagles in Flight Fellowship. You can write this ministry at P.O. Box 2185, Richland, South Carolina, 29936. Phone number is 843-271-1006. And now, you are tuned into the Eagles in Flight Hour. Eagles, mount up!
Eagles in Flight Hour with Apostle Marcus Dupree and Prophet Selena Dupree.
We can talk to a bunch of people, but really when it comes down to, we need to talk to the Lord. We need to get to know Him, develop and cultivate our relationship with Him. You know, He said, casting our cares unto Him because He cared for us. A lot of times we carry these burdens when it wasn't meant for us to carry them.
Just wonderful when God places a shepherd in your midst that does what Jesus does.
Everything wants to be built up in our life. Everything has a voice. You know, sometimes we can have so many voices speaking into our ears, and we just need to get to the voice that matters the most, the Lord's voice.
Because He doesn't give us one or two or three. He gives us so many chances because He's a faithful God. You know, we mess up a lot as Christians. Sometimes it's things that we know, and then sometimes it's things that we're doing that we just don't know.
Any which way He can try and get you away from God, He's always trying to do that. Always trying to pull you away.
Eagles in Flight Hour with Apostle Marcus Dupree and Prophet Selena Dupree. From Eagles Wings International Ministries. We're broadcasting live at BMG Radio.
Welcome to Eagles in Flight Hour. This is Apostle Marcus Dupree, Prophet Selena Dupree. And tonight we want to thank God. We thank God for just first of all being on tonight and just letting us have the opportunity to come forth to minister to you tonight. And we also have two special guests along with us in the room here. Amen. So we thank God for Bishop Ojo. Amen. Who's here. And then we also have Prophet Shauna. Amen. As well. And Prophet Shauna Pierce, Bishop Ojo. Amen. So we thank God for what He's about to do. Amen. So, but before we get ready to go any further, we'll have a proper, proper introduction. But we just want to kind of set the tone before we begin to pray. Now, Father, we thank you right now in the mighty name of Jesus, Lord God. We thank you for this opportunity that you've given to us as we come before your presence right now. Lord Jesus, we thank you. Lord God, in the name of Jesus, Lord God, do what you desire to do tonight, Lord Jesus. Minister to us, Lord God, as you minister to your great people. And we thank you, Lord God, for this encounter with you tonight, that we shall go forth in your presence, and we should do well. And we thank you, Lord God, in the mighty name of Jesus, for the impact of your word tonight. Lord God, have your way, Lord Jesus. Thank you as you continue to minister to our hearts, Lord God. Thank you that we should receive the word promised tonight, Lord Jesus. We are empowered, to go forth and do great and mighty things in your mighty name. So, Lord, we thank you right now in the mighty name of Jesus, Lord God. We surrender all, and we allow you to have free course in this hour, Lord Jesus. Have your way, Lord Jesus. Reveal your word and truth. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Hallelujah. Amen. Glory to God. Amen. And once again, like I said, we have Bishop Ayoko Ojo. Amen. And then we have Brother Shauna Pierce on the line with us tonight. And we want to invite them in to supposed to have a round table of the word, of the Lord. And as we begin to get started, give our scripture where we'll be coming from, then we'll give them a moment to kind of share with us who they are and where they're from. And they're just a little something we can get familiar with who we have in the studio tonight with us. We're going to be looking at Matthew chapter 5, and we'll be still looking at verse 13. And we'll start there. You are the salt of the earth, but if the salt has lost its savor, wherewith shall it be salted? Is this for the good for nothing, but to be cast out and to be trodden under the foot of men? You are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under the bushel, but on a candlestick, giving light to all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men, that they may see your good works and glorify your Father, which is in heaven. Amen. Tonight we want to talk about being a light today, being a light in the world today. Jesus said that I am the light of the world. And then he goes on here to tell us that we are the light. You know, so being a light today, what does it take to be the light? And what is being the light is consist of, you know, as we look at today's modern time. So, amen, before we go that far to the word, we want to allow our guests to say hello and give us a little bit about themselves. Amen. So, first of all, we want to ask Prophet Shauna. Amen. You can give us an intro of yourself. Amen.
Amen. Thank God. I first want to give honor to God, who's the head of my life, and to my Apostle Marcus Dupree, and to Prophet's lady, Selena Dupree, for having me on. I am truly grateful, and it's an honor. I reside in California, Stockton, California. I've been with the ministry now for almost going on probably about 5 or 6 months. I currently work for the school district. I am a mother of three and a grandmother of one. And I'm truly honored to be here to share and to expound on the word of God. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you. Amen. Yeah, she's also, they're both a part of Eagles Wings International Ministries. Amen. I'm the founder, pastor, and overseer there. Amen. And so we have Bishop Ayoko Ojo. Amen. Amen. She was in the process of. Amen. Bishop, are you there?
Yes, I'm here. I'm still around the noise. So if I can just have a few more minutes,
okay,
I'm
no
sorry
problem.
For the hold up.
Okay, no problem, no problem. Amen. No problem. Okay. Amen. Well, amen. Well, while she's in transition here, amen. We want to I just welcome you both. Amen for joining us tonight. And to talk about the word of God. And like I said, tonight we're going to talk about being a light today. You know, the scriptures tell us as we go to, before we actually even get into being a light, let's look at verse 13. It says, you are the salt of the earth. This lets us know that you are salt. The salt is used to preserve and to bring forth a refreshing, a refreshing. When you add salt to something, it brings it to gives it a refreshing taste to it. It spices it up and it brings life to it. But if the salt which lost its savor, wherewith shall it be salted? Is this for the good for nothing, but to be cast out and trodden under the foot of men? So, amen. So, Prophet Sean, what does that mean? You know, this give me what does mean as the salt of the earth? You know, was that what does that say to you? I mean, how can you relate to that today? And just give me an example of what does that say to you? Amen.
Amen. The salt is used to flavor, to enhance, and to enhance food. That's what salt is for. And so as being followers of Christ, we are the salt of the world. So we are to enhance, to give flavor to life, to people around us, to our family, to our friends, you know, through the guidance of the Holy Spirit and obedience to Christ, we're supposed to have an impact on people around
Amen.
Us and let our light shine and be an example to what God is saying for us to do, just as if there's strife, we are supposed to be peacemakers. If there's sorrow, we're supposed to minister Christ and binding up wounds. And if there's hatred, we're supposed to demonstrate the love of Christ.
Amen. Very good point. Amen. Very good point. We see a lot of that today where different things have happened. And there are special people that bring a special zest or change to a situation because of the nature of God inside them, because of their love of God, that relationship. And to read to be effective salt in the earth, it comes from a strong relationship from God with God. We cannot try and bring change without the changer inside of us. We have to be close to Him. And when we try to do it any other way, it's going to lead into a mess. And but truly having a strong relationship with God, a solid relationship with God, will always add to our life. I like to say that, you know, our greatest asset on this earth is our relationship with God. Because when everything else falls, everything else can happen, anything can happen. Family, different tragedy things can happen in the family. You may lose your job. All kinds of things can happen. When it's all said and done, your relationship with God will hold you in place where you won't give up. You know, if you want to be kept, the Holy Spirit will keep you. And, you know, and being in that place with the Lord will really help you to stay focused, stay in that place of love. When, you know, and it's not going to be easy. I mean, you're going to have challenges. Challenges will come to the best of us. And that's the thing is none of us are exempt. But it's not the challenge that comes to man, but it's how the man handles the challenge. And by the way of the Holy Spirit, He gives us that balance. He gives us the strength to be able to endure challenges when it comes. And He gives us that hope to where we don't cast away our confidence, you know, because some things happen, it might throw you off a loop or it'll cause you to lose sight. You know, that's why it's very important for us truly to have this relationship with God as well. And so it brings all of that to light, truly what salt does. Amen. Amen. Do you have anything else you'd like to add to that?
Amen. Just that, you know, how you mentioned earlier that salt is a preserver and that as believers we are to be preservatives. You know, we are supposed to be able to preserve ourselves, preserve the word of God, to keep as a keeper, you know, be able to keep ourselves and keep like our children, like the Bible tells us to raise up our children the way they should go. So
yes.
I'm just seeing that as a preservative that we are supposed to preserve and hold to the word of God and teach our children, attempt to teach those around us that we come in contact with. So I just thank God for that.
Amen. And that's, you know, being an example as well. But even as we shift a little more, as we get into the light, we want to see that it being an example as well, too. Because truly, so we may be the only Bible that some people get to read. And they may not come in contact with someone who maybe is involved in Christ how we are, or some people may not. But the thing is, we just have to know that truly we've been placed in that person's life, or some reason or another, we are there to make some kind of impact, some kind of change that Christ in us ought to rub off on them or touch them somehow, some way. But even by the way we do some things, it's going to, like I said, cause things to happen differently for them to look at it like, wow, something different about you. You're not like everyone else. You the way your attitude is, you know, different. And that's another thing too. You know, as Christians, we need to make sure we have the attitude of Christ. You know, we should not be the pessimistic one in a place. I mean, you know, if anyone should be positive, it should be the children of God. And unfortunately, I worked a few places where the children of God weren't too nice. I just don't understand that. But, you know, once again, when you truly allow God to take over and really, when you actually allow him to, yourself to surrender to him, he does have a way of using you as you are, amen, and your personality, and to make an impact for real. Amen. So we thank God for that. Amen. As we go a little further, you are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. As we look at that verse, it's very powerful. He says a city on a hill cannot be hid. As much as that city may try and put trees up, it cannot be hid. It's going to be on display. And this shows us, as Christians, we are always on display. Either we like it, either even if we like it or not. I don't want to be an example. Well, you're a Christian. You're going to be put on display. You know why? Because darkness shines, a light shines in darkness. So because of the light of Christ inside of you, you're going to shine. Now, how much you allow yourself to shine, that is the question. Amen. Do you have anything with that, Prophet? Amen.
Amen. Just that is true, because as soon as you allow people or let people know that you are a Christian, there it goes right there. You start shining, and how bright you shine depends on how much you let your light shine in the midst of people. You will be tested. You'll be tested by darkness to see if you truly are who you say you are. I believe that, like, especially in the workplace, we are always under watch. Because of who we are, people are always watching to see if you truly are the light, the salt, as you say you are. And so I just, other thing I want to say is that sometimes you only get one shot. Sometimes
Amen.
You only get one shot to convince somebody or win them over to who you say you are. So a lot of times we have to be careful about our conduct and the things that we say and how we say it, because you can lose a person completely just by saying the wrong things. Because if you confess to be a Christian and then you act differently, you'll never be able to win that person over, or it'll take a lot of convincing. So once you take a stand, make sure you stand and follow through. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Christ says, you are the light of the world. Amen. And Jesus goes on to say in John, I think, chapter 3, when he talks about, he says about men in darkness, how men would, you know, register in darkness because their deeds are evil. Their deeds are evil, and they hate the light. When the light shows up, it's scattered. They don't like, you know, the light to show up because it exposes. And we have to remember, you know, that light is inside of us also to expose darkness. And it is to be a Christian is not really, you know, some people sometimes think that being a Christian is a weak thing, and you know, but it really takes a lot to be a Christian, or really to be a true Christian, to stand in the real image of what being a Christian is about. It takes a lot. It does, because you have to really deny yourself. Who wants to be the heavy? Who wants to be the one that says, that's not right? Who wants to be that one? Who wants to be that one to, when everyone else say yes, you might have to be the only one that says no? You know, so to stand strong as a Christian, you have to be willing to take some hits. You have to be willing to be this light. You have to be willing. You know, our greatest example is Christ. He was cross-cultural. He cut right across the culture of things and showed up, brought forth the kingdom mindset. And that's what we're here to do. We're here to bring forth a kingdom mindset, not a village. There's a difference between being having a village mindset versus a kingdom. A village is just me and my TP. I'm good. Just me, my TP, and just me and my works. But having a kingdom mindset, a kingdom is so much bigger. It's so much bigger. So you have to look for the bigger picture of what God is saying. So, amen. So being the light of the world, you know, it really makes a loud statement. The city set on the hill cannot be hid. So no matter how you try to hide that light, no matter how you try to be like everyone else, that's another thing, trying to fit in. You weren't made to fit in. You were made to be the example. You're made to be the leader, the head, not the tail, above only, not beneath. He didn't make us to fit into doing what everyone else is doing. Amen. Amen. Glory to God. You have anything else in this prophecy, man?
Praise God. What I was getting also is that being the light, you don't always have to announce yourself. People are drawn to light. You know, people are drawn to the about you in the way you conduct yourself, in the way you speak to people, your personality, your smile, you know, the way you walk, the way you dress. And so people will be drawn to you just by your presence. And so I thank God that we don't always have to go around preaching, slinging the Bible for people to know that who we are. And we just got to walk this thing out, you know, walk it out, believe and trust God that, that people will come, people will be interested, people will know, want to know what is different about you, what is it about you, there's something I see about you that I haven't seen before. And that's how conversations are started. That's how you're able to witness to people, by letting your light shine, you know, among the world, you know, so that all can see. And we're not supposed to try to hide it. We're not supposed to try to cover it up. So I just thank God for that. Amen.
Amen. Amen. That's very good. Amen. That's true. We're not supposed to hide. Amen. But let the light shine. Now, verse 15 says, neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick. So here he's telling us, neither do men light a candle, put it under a bushel. So we don't know. We don't. He didn't light us up for us to be hidden. He lights up so we can stand up and be seen. Now, of course, being seen, we're not trying to make a reputation of ourselves. You know, Christ didn't make a reputation of himself. He didn't, you know, he could have. I mean, he didn't have to try. I mean, the things that God was doing through him, he already had a reputation without trying to make a reputation. You know, but God didn't make us to, he didn't send us to make our reputation, bring the attention onto us. You know, our thing is always to point back to the Father, always point back to the Lord, always to redirect the eyes off of you back to him. See, it's a very sticky area when we look at that, because it's very important for us truly to understand that it's very important for us to realize that we are the one who's supposed to always be pointing back to the Lord. You know, it's not for us to touch his glory. It's not for us to take his credit. You know, truly, he is the one. He is the Savior. He's the minister. Amen. Amen. Yeah. Bishop, amen. Go ahead.
Yes. You know, truly, you know, it's a calling that's not even the ordinary person would be able to handle, because when you look at, especially as you go higher in the ministry, you have to take a lot of weight upon you. And so the fact that you are called to that position, that office, that anointing, that gifting, you know, you should recognize that God thinks a lot about you to honor you with that position. And by being in that position, you know, you're to point your finger back to God, just like, you know, like when the Apostle Paul said, follow me as I follow Christ. And, you know, even, you know, the mother of Christ herself, you know, it's like she never said, hey, I'm Mary, you know, blah, blah, blah. She always pointed to her son. And so we have to realize that, you know, as he was the light, we are also supposed to be the light. Amen. We're supposed to be bearers of the light. And, you know, if we hide that light away, you know, it really causes a lot of things to go unbalanced in the world. And we want to be balancers, not imbalancers. And that's a very but it's a very it's key and it's mandatory. If I go out there and I say, you know, I am Mrs. Ojo or I'm Bishop Ojo or I'm Apostle, Prophet, whatever, you know, they're going to sit there and they're going to be watching me to see what I do.
Right.
What do I do in my speech? What do I do in my generosity? And especially for me as a married woman, am I courteous to my husband? And they watch that. You know, they watch your every little gesture. And so many times it's like we want to sit there and say, well, why do they have to scrutinize? Why do they have to scrutinize? But the thing of it was is that Christ said that they did this and much worse to the prophets before me. And so what do you
yes.
think they're going to do to you? So you have to go into it prepared. You have to go into it with your eyes wide open. And you have to go into it with dedication because
yes.
God can use you mightily if you just cooperate with his will. And that's the biggest key right there, Apostle, is that in my years of ministry, I have found that the key point any person needs in anything, especially as a woman in ministry, is your dedication.
Yes. And that's true.
Yeah.
Amen. Very good point. It's very good point. Prophet, do you have anything else you can add to that?
Amen. Just to what Bishop was saying about just being wise and, you know, to see if we are truly sincere and about what we say or who we say we are, because people truly are watching everything that we do, even if we're not asking for that. So we do have to walk upright. We do have to be careful about how we speak and things that we say,
mm-hmm.
our attitude, because we are the light, and people are watching to see if that light is going to go out. So I just, you know, just want to say that piggyback on what Bishop was saying is that it's true. And that as we follow, as Christ is the light and we follow him, then our light will grow stronger and stronger. And it will get brighter and brighter. And he'll take us higher and higher in different places as we're able to come, you know, achieve different levels in this walk, you know, and not allow our light to be put out. You know, because
yeah.
people are always trying to put that light out, you know, trying to snuff it. That's what it is, snuff your light out. But we got to just be convinced and sure that as God, Christ is the light of our lives, that we can also, you know, shine bright as we go through this journey in him.
Amen.
Apostle,
no, yes, uh-huh.
You know, I just wanted to ask your permission to tag on to what she was saying, because as she was saying, as Prophet was speaking, mm-hmm. The Lord reminded me of a situation that I was privy to know about. I wasn't involved, but I was, you know, I knew about it, and it became so important of a focus point that they actually did a television show about it, and it was in regards to the Amish people. And it was dealing not just with their commitment to their faith, but their confidence in their calling. And I think that's what many of us in the faith is, we forget about our confidence in our calling. And it was so powerful of a statement that they made, because they wound up interviewing one of the Amish bishops. And they asked him, they said, well, you know, why don't y'all go out and proselytize and whatnot? If y'all think that y'all have the right way. And he said, well, Jesus said for us to be a light. And
Amen.
He said that if we lift him up, he will do the drawing.
Amen.
And the interviewer asked him, said, well, Bishop, you know, what are you trying to say? He said, as an Amish believer in Jesus, my life should be so much of an example that you come and ask me about my faith rather than me having to come and tell you. And I personally, and I listened to his words and I took it to heart, and I personally experienced it time after time where people come up and they say, you know, there's something special about you. There's something different about you. And even to the point to where I was at the laundromat one day and a sister came up to me and she said, you're a minister, aren't you? Because if you are truly walking the walk, if you're truly talking the talk, you can walk into a room and you will have an aura about you that will compel men to run unto you.
Amen.
They will cry out to you, what can I do to be born again? Rather than we having to go and bash them upside their heads, they will come to us. And so it was really interesting watching that documentary because I was like, wow. His confidence in his calling and his commitment to his faith made him the light that he needed to be as an Amish bishop. And so how much more can that apply to me? Because I personally am a woman. It's like, and there's people that feel some kind of way about female ministers. There's people that feel some kind of way about, even with the ones that allow female ministers in their congregations, they feel some kind of way about a female bishop, a female apostle. And so they have a problem with that. And so they're watching people like Shauna and I very closely. Because they're like, who is this woman that dares to call herself the woman of God? Well, baby, you just watch my life and you'll see my fruit.
Amen. 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 Yeah. And that's important. I mean, because, you know, we have to realize that people are always, you know, watching. But that's another thing, too, I was about to say. When we have there's a title in our names, that by itself draws some attention.
Yeah.
And
Amen.
We, our life now is under a microscope because there's a title and there's an expectation, there's an expectancy along with that. That's why we have to be careful to and mindful that once we have known people come and know us as to be who we are, we have to be mindful to watch what we do, watch what
Amen.
We say, how we handle things. Because now, you know, and in some cases, some people are waiting to throw a baby out with the bathwater. They may come across one person who have a title, and because however that person acts, that's going to be the first measuring stick to all the rest of the leaders who may come across their path. And if that impression was not a good impression, oh my God, now because there was not a good impression, now everyone else is being looked at as not being real or not taken seriously because of that first example. But if they were real and they held it down, now the bar is up there, now they're going to expect you to act just like that person too. Or just as good.
Right.
So, you know, the bar can work both ways, but there is a bar set when they hear a title on your name.
Right.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. So so that's why when we see, you know, with being an example, being on display, like the light under the light being put under a bushel, it's not going to work. You've been a light set on the hill.
Right.
Amen. Amen. Prophet, you have something? Oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, Apostle, if I could, that, you know, in the Jewish faith, they have Hanukkah. And Hanukkah is the literal translation of it means the festival of the light. And so Jesus is the light of the world. And so as believers in the Messiah, we are to be his living, breathing, walking, talking festival of light. Each and every day of our life should, as a body of believers, should be Hanukkah to his memorial. Amen.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what so many people don't understand is that you are that festival of lights. You are, you know, because the celebration comes once a year, but we have been called to be like that celebration every single day. So if Shauna and I go out to dinner together, you know, I may not refer to her as prophet because she's also Shauna, my friend. And so we're not in the church house, but we're out to dinner together. But there should be something about us that in our speech and in our pattern that will call somebody's attention to us. And it's twofold. And I'm going to say this, and I think I'll be done with that part of it. But is it not only, like you were saying, Apostle, about how they will come to you and they'll see how you act up. And it's like, oh, my goodness. Let's say, for example, my husband and I have a disagreement. Are we going to have a disagreement out in public? And even if we did, am I going to cuss at him? Am I going to scream at him? I'm going to disrespect him, because if they see me cussing and screaming and disrespecting my husband, it diminishes my character in their eyesight as a woman of God, because at that point they're saying, oh, she's the bishop. Well, I ain't going to that church. Oh, she's a pastor. She's a prophet. No, I don't want no part of Christianity then. And so we have to be very careful for that thing, because their soul is literally in our hand. You know, I remember how I was taught that when you are dealing with faith issues, you literally have that person's soul in your hand. Their life is well-being spiritually and naturally is in your hand. And so we have to be careful as men and women of God that we do not allow our character to be diminished.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Prophet, amen.
Amen. It's true. I agree with Bishop, is that we do have to be very mindful of how we deal with people and what we say in public, on the workplace, in the grocery stores, because people are watching, especially if we are proclaiming to be a bishop or prophet, apostle, evangelist. So our words and our conduct is under scrutiny all the time, especially in our own home with our children, our loved ones, and our family. They'll be the first one to try to, you know, say, oh, yeah, see how you talk, see how you act. So we're not perfect. You know, God, we're not perfect, but yet still we have to be mindful of our conduct at all times.
Amen. Well, praise God. Amen. Esther is very true. And we have to definitely watch out, you know, and be an example, because we're truly called to be that light, amen, on the hill. And once again, like we were saying about you were not called to be hidden under the bushel. You were called to be put on a candlestick. When you put something on a candlestick, you raise it up. It's raised up and it's exposed. You know, you are set so people can see, so you can be seen. And it's not a thing of drawing attention to yourself, of course, but you are the example of Christ. We are ambassadors in chains, you know what I mean? So we are, as his ambassadors, we're representing heaven. We're heaven's representatives. Amen. Representatives of heaven. Excuse me. And so this, so keeping that in mind, it really helps me to stay grounded to where I'm understanding that, you know, I have to be careful what I do, what I say, like I said, how you treat people, how you respond, you know, is very crucial, because you don't know, and the enemy is so true, because he's always looking for a reason not to believe who you are, in who you are. He's always trying to look for a reason to discredit or take away from who you say you are, whatever, they're trying to discredit that. So that's why we also have to be mindful and careful, truly. So that's why we just have to continue to let love guide us. And so as he displays us, as he puts us up on that candlestick, let us shine for his glory. And as long as we keep that in mind, I believe, like you said, we're not perfect, amen. We make mistakes like anyone else, too. And see, the good thing about it is we can be honest about our challenges or mistakes, and it can be used for good. It can be used to bring glory to the Father, because even though we may not have been perfect, but in my weakness, he's strong. So this helps me to show my dependency on the Lord and how much I'm dependent on him, even the more as being the light of the world. You know, being a light in the world, you know, because I'm dependent on him to lead me and guide me out of my steps and to give me strength to overcome. My dependency is on him. It's not for me to bring attention to myself once again, because I couldn't do it by myself. This is not a walk that your flesh can get the glory from it. This is a walk that our Lord, he gets the glory, because our dependency is on him. You know, if Jesus can't do it, it won't be done. That's basically our attitude behind it, because he's the one who gives us strength to accomplish the work that needs to be done. Amen. Amen. Okay. Amen. As we go a little further, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. This lets us know truly that our light does not just affect us. It also affects all those around us, just like we were saying, you know. And so we can't just think it's all about me. It's all about, you know, what I want to do. Well, because, you know, you may want to do something. The Bible talks about, you know, someone eating meat. It may offend someone else. Well, if you know this is going to offend someone else, you may want to hold off on doing that. Not say that you have to do the same thing they're doing, but in giving them that proper respect. This is where we can gain brothers and sisters as well, when we give people a respect of who they are, you know, instead of just kind of just saying, well, I can do what I want to do and just whatever. But you have to, when you be considerate of another person, you'd be surprised how much that can impact their life, because even though you didn't have to do it, but you chose to do it out of respect for them, that speaks volumes to the people. People are blown away when they see that you consider them. You suffered yourself not to have, so just and make sure that you didn't offend them. And that's the kind of stuff that the Lord had. That's the kind of things that the Lord had us do to make an impact on this world. They just came in contact. They were just a recipient of the love of Jesus just that fast. Because the way you showed this, he said, people will know you are my disciples because of the way you love. See, where I love them, even though I may not be a vegetarian per se like they are, whatever case may be, but because I love them enough to respect them and honor them in that way, I choose not to eat that. I choose not to eat meat. I mean, just give me a garden salad, whatever case may be, just out of respect for them, and that shows them how much they, you know, you appreciate them as well as just being courteous, you know. So those little things that it can make an impact, a big impact, those are things the Lord loves to have us to do. Those things, he said, the foolish things of the world become found the wise. You know, some people may call it crazy, but we say that's living for God. You know, when you're doing certain things that other people wouldn't just be doing or whatever the case would be, in other words, there's two systems. You have the world system, and you have the kingdom of God. When we operate in our system, we operate from the kingdom of God, the kingdom system. And so the kingdom system is usually going to be the opposite of what the world wants to do. Someone steals your gold. The world says, kill. Take this stuff back. Take this stuff from him. Well, the Bible says, well, not only that, but you turn the other cheek, love them. I mean, who in their right mind would want to do something like that? But that goes to show you the kingdom mindset versus the world's mentality. You know, it's a totally different thing. And so that's why we, as Christians, we have to make sure that we operate on the right side of it. Amen. Do you have anything with that, Prophet? Amen.
Amen. What I got when you were speaking was it's just about being considerate. Being considerate of others before yourself. Considering their beliefs. Considering, you know, what they believe in their religion, or be it what they eat. You know, coming into someone's house, taking off your shoes. You know, just being considerate. Showing that, you know, it's not just about what I think or how I feel, what I want to do, but showing the consideration that I care about you. And so I will line up with what you say, what you want to do. So I just was just thinking about that, you know, how sometimes we have to remove ourselves and allow, show consideration for others. And then that also is how the love of God comes forth, because you'll be surprised how people don't expect that. They don't expect people to be considerate of their beliefs or considerate of what they think and, you know, how they do things. So we as Christians can show people that it's not just about us, that we care.
Amen.
I think it makes a great impact.
Amen. Amen. That's very true.
Yeah.
Amen.
Yeah, that's a powerful point, and I'm glad you actually went back to that, because I had thought about it earlier and I forgot. But when you were talking about the kingdom mindset, and that's the thing, is like, you know, because I always tell people, says, never refer to me as a religious leader. I'm not a religious leader. I'm a spiritual leader.
Amen.
It's like, don't refer to me as a church leader. No, I'm a kingdom ruler. It's like, and you have to really, really walk in that. You have to stand firm on that because, you know, it truly is a different paradigm. And so if you sit there, and I mean, and we understand, you know, the whole concept about it takes a village to raise a child. So nobody's saying that you let go of your village, but you stay stuck in a village mentality, prohibit the growth because you are called to kingdom mindset.
Amen. That's good. Amen.
Dynamics. And in that, you find yourself being in a place that where, you know, the scripture says that they were out there, and it was a place in Greece. I forget the name of it off the top of my head. But they came to that place, and they saw that the church was divided. The church was at war with themselves because half of the church refused to eat meat because of how the meat that was sold in the marketplace was being sold by idol worshippers. So therefore, the meat was sacrificed before their gods and then brought the meat after they made the sacrifice was brought to the market to sell to the people so they could feed themselves. And so the part of the church had an issue with it because they said, oh, well, you're supporting idolatry. You're supporting this if you buy this meat. And so they refused to eat any meat. And so the part of the church, they would sit there and have no problem eating meat. They ostracized them. And so when the apostle came to that town, he said, this is not kingdom. This is not God. This is not what our Messiah came to for us to be able to do. He came for us to love one another. And so, therefore, if your brother doesn't eat meat, fine. If your brother does eat meat, fine. As long as they're not bowing down to the idols themselves, they have not sinned. But what happens is that you are being a stumbling block for your brother if you know he has decided in himself not to eat meat and you eat meat in front of him. And so that's a very powerful point. There's right there in the scripture that says, Ioka, you don't do this if you know that it's going to bother your sister. And it was like, and the Apostle Paul actually used the word, he said, if you know it offends them, don't do it when they are around.
Amen.
And that's the bottom line. You don't do something knowingly to offend someone.
Amen.
Because that's not love. And Christ said, with love and with kindness, I have drawn them. And so how can you sit there and do something knowing that it's offensive? And then call yourself loving. It doesn't work.
Yes.
Love is not
Amen.
Offensive.
Amen. Amen. That's true. That's why, you know, that's why I love the Holy Spirit, because if you, to be honest, I mean, there's some things that we don't know. We learn as we go along. But for the most part, there's some things the Holy Spirit will lead you. If you ask him, to guide you. I mean, that's why we need to really to live by Proverbs 3:5-6. You know, trust the Lord with all our heart, lean not to our own understanding. You know, all our ways and knowledge, and he shall direct our path. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Trust the Lord, and you know, and follow. You know, so that's why it's very, very important that we truly allow him to lead us in our everyday living, because there are things that we don't realize, we don't even know. But the Holy Spirit can guide us and prevent us from doing certain things that may be offensive. We may not understand it at the time, but there are some things he may lead us not to do because it could bring an offense. You know, sometimes that's why, too, we don't need to have a 50-question survey, why, God, should I do or why should I not do? God, there may be no time for all those questions, but just obey. Obedience is always better than sacrifice. Prophet, amen.
Amen. Amen. Praise God. True, everything that's been said. And that's why I do also love the Holy Spirit, because it will guide you. It will lead you and it to come into a place of doing what is right. unctioning you to go and say something or not to say something. And God is love, you know. That's just the bottom line. It's all the things that he said that we should have, the most he said is love. And that without love, then the rest is void. So I just also, you know, thank God for just the spirit of charity, you know, and being able to not be offensive. And if we are offended or we offend someone, to be able to go to that person or go to the situation and correct it quickly, you know. Blessed is the peacemaker, you know. Blessed is the peacemaker. And so I just thank God for that. That's all about being the light, you know, of the world, being the salt.
Absolutely.
It all ties together. You know, it all comes together. And it all still, again, points to Christ. It points to Christ. So, amen.
Amen. Because he's our ultimate example. You know, for the story he's shown us, and he died for us, and he lived also for us, you know, for what he did. That 33 and a half years, he walked out the kingdom. Well, 3.5 years, I should say, from age 30 to 33 and a half. So that's when he really walked out the kingdom, far as walking his ministry, and really walked out the kingdom of God in demonstration and power. You know, and this is why we, you know, love is one of our great, our strongest, I can say our strongest weapon in the sense you can say, because through the power, even if the giftings work according to love.
Amen.
You know, everything is tied to love with God. That's why God is love. His love is the blood that functions through God. You know, it's like without love, we have nothing. You can have all the gift. You may sound the voice of an angel, but without love, it's nothing. And that's why when we allow love to be our guide, our governor, you know, through the Holy Spirit, he will teach us all truth. He will teach us. There's things that you can learn in the classroom. There's a lot of things you learn Holy Ghost 101.
Amen.
Right? He teaches you to walk you through the day. That's why that relationship, it goes right back to that relationship with God, is very key. Without a relationship with God, we won't have the substance of our faith the way we need to. Oh, guys, I feel almost preaching on that one. But it just takes you in. You know what I'm saying? It just takes you in. And, you know, when it comes to your love for the Holy Ghost, for him to teach you daily different things about life and also treating one another, it makes an impact and it makes a very good difference. Amen. Amen. So that takes me to verse 16. Let your light so shine before men that they may see. See, they may see. They need to see. They hear you, but do they see what you're saying?
Amen.
It comes down to people, they hear the talk, but are they seeing the walk to match it?
Amen.
As believers, we have to be, when we talk about being the light, we can't say that I'm a spotlight and turn out to be a strobe light. You know what I'm saying? Something ain't right. And that's why we have to really be a light, the example. He said, shine before men that may see your good works.
Amen.
That preached by itself.
Amen.
Good works.
True.
You got to make sure
your
works are good. And glorify your Father, which is in heaven. So now we can expound on that. I just want to get that out of the way. But amen. So we see in that, let your light so shine before men so they may see. What are you going to see? What are they seeing? Are they seeing what you're saying? Or they're not saying what you're seeing? Or they're not saying, or you're not saying what they're seeing?
Right.
Amen.
Amen. Bishop, amen.
Yes, Apostle, that is a powerful point right there as well, because, you know, so many churches, you got churches that will say, oh, once saved, always saved. You got churches that say, oh, well, if you backslide, you go to hell. You got these churches, they're at war with each other because of their man-made interpretation of Scripture. But when you read the Scripture, it says that once you have confessed Christ, that he's there. Are you going to follow him is the problem. And what people don't understand is that I tell people, I say, you have to read the scripture because it says the Holy Ghost is there to seal you until the day of redemption. And so therefore, yeah. if you let the Holy Ghost come into your life and seal you, and then that Holy Ghost will also inspire you to do, like you just read in the scripture, good works. It said faith, yes, without works is dead. And likewise, mm-hmm, we can also say that work without faith is in vain. It tells us in the scripture that we will be judged according to our works. And that's the thing, is if people are going to judge us according to our works now, how much more do we understand that the Father is going to judge us according to our works when we get to heaven?
Yes.
So do you want? So
amen.
I want to tell people this: do you want to, you know, confess the Lord and get saved, maybe on your last dying breath, and just barely make it into heaven, or do you
Come
want
on.
To live for Him?
And,
yes,
have
stars in your crown. I want
Amen.
To live for Him. Amen.
Amen.
I want to live
yes.
for Him. I want to have people that have followed me to Him be there with me. I don't want to just take a breath and say, save me, Jesus, and just barely make it in. I want
you
to
know,
let the Holy Ghost seal me. And I'm sorry, I'm trying not to preach, but I want the Holy Ghost to seal me so that I can
Amen.
Be compelled
yes.
to His word.
Amen.
And what happens is, Apostle,
Thank
that
you,
when we
Jesus.
Do that, when we allow the Holy Ghost to seal us, and when we allow men to be called into the Father because of our good works, then we can start getting the work done instead of having all these fights with each other about doctors,
mm-hmm,
about, oh, if you're saved or if you're backslid, and if you're going to heaven, if you're going to hell, can a woman preach? Can a woman not preach? Can a woman have position, or can she just preach
yes.
from the floor?
Amen.
All of these things, even to the point of a head covering. You know, people say, oh, Bishop, you were the most beautiful head coverings. I never see your hair, you know, without your head being covered in some fashion. That's me. That's what I prefer. But the Bible says, if it causes a problem, then we don't have such ordinances in the church. In other words, the Apostle Paul said right there in 1 Corinthians, don't make something that's going to cause fights in the church. And that's what's happening, Apostle. They
Amen.
Fighting over all these things, whether she can wear pink or not, whether she has to wear a veil or not, whether she
Amen.
Can preach or not, whether she's going to go to hell because she backslid or not. They're fighting over all these things when if they would just be led of the Holy Ghost.
Yes.
Amen.
I'm
that
just saying.
Would be all right.
I dropped the
Amen.
Mic on that one right there. Just be led
Amen.
Of the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord Jesus. Praise God for Bishop. And I come in to agree with what she was saying. We're making a big fuss out of stuff that they got nothing to do with what God is saying, you know, that we should be doing. And when I read this scripture, Bishop touched on it about faith without works is dead. It also is our deeds. You know, when people look at us, not what we're just saying, but what are we doing? What are we doing?
Amen.
What are we doing? What are we doing? Are we feeding the homeless? Are we taking care of the, you know, the orphanage, the widows? Are we going to see about people? What are we doing?
Prophet.
What are we doing?
Amen.
You know, it's not just about what we say. We can shout and scream all day long, but if we ain't doing nothing,
That's
if
right.
we're not out being about our Father's business, you know, then what and how are we glorifying God for real? You know, so we
Amen.
Really got to be out, you know, in the byways and up in the freeways and the byways, you know, taking care of God's people, taking care of the less fortunate, going and doing
yes.
the work of God, not just talking about it, not just,
Amen.
You know, being, you know, hearers of the word, but we got to be doers of the word also. So that's what I get out of that verse 16, is that we also got to be about the deeds of God, about the work of God,
yes.
not just about saying it and preaching it. We got to go do the work.
Amen. That's
Amen.
Right. We got to do the work. That's the key thing to finish off with that is we have to go forth and do the work. Well, amen. I thank God for both of you being on tonight. Tonight we had a great time, and I'm telling you, we've been cooking with some serious oil here. I'm telling you, but to start a blaze. But amen. I want to thank God for you both, for Bishop Ioko George Ojo. Excuse me, somebody say Jojo. Amen. And then we have Prophet. Amen. Amen. Thank you for love. You know. I'm just telling you, we're about to catch a blaze here. Prophet Shauna, amen. Pierce, amen. We thank God for you being here as well. You have a prayer line that you have during the week. can you give us a quick announcement of that as well as the number, just before we get ready to close off the air? Amen.
Amen. Praise God. It's Prayer Warriors Heart International Ministry. We are on Monday, Wednesdays, and Fridays, and every first and third Saturday of the month. The phone number is 712-432-3100. That's 712-432-3100. And the code is 165168. And that is at 5 a.m. Pacific Standard Time, 7 Central Standard Time, and 8 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. Again, that's Prayer Warrior Heart International Ministry, where we come together Monday, Wednesdays, and Fridays, and every first and third Saturday to get into the presence of the Lord and be blessed. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Bishop, amen. You have any last word real quick from Bill?
Yes, of course, I just want to thank God for the privilege and the blessing and the honor to be here with my dear brother, my dear sister. I thank God for you, Apostle. Awesome leader. I'm proud to be serving under and with you. And, you know, if anybody wants to look me up on Facebook, feel free. Just keep your eyes out because, you know, Eagles Wings as a family has a lot of stuff that's coming forth. And, you know, I'm just saying there will be something else on Facebook for you guys soon. So just keep your eyes out.
Yes. Amen.
And be blessed.
Amen. Amen. Once again, our Apostle Marcus Dupree and Prophet Selena Dupree, thanking you all for being here with us. And join us again next week, same time. And if you want to join us for services during the week, join us at 5 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on Sundays, and 2 o'clock on for Pacific Coast. What is it? For Sundays, it's 2 o'clock on Sundays and 5 o'clock on for Eastern Standard Time. 2 o'clock for Pacific. And on the Tuesday night Bible study, Impact Bible Study, we have that at 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And of course, that's 4 o'clock Pacific time. And so we join us with this Impact Bible Study and Sunday service. And truly come and join us. Have a great time. And we also have Saturday morning intercessory prayer. That's been a great time as well. So that's 8 o'clock Eastern Standard Time, 5 o'clock Pacific time on Saturday mornings. So thank God for you. And the number, the call for all those days, the number is 843-619-0410. 843-619-0410. Thank y'all. We had a great time tonight, and we'll be looking forward to we'll be back on next week. And we have some more special guests with us next week as well. So God bless you all. Have an awesome night. Thank God for both of you. We love you. Thank you for your faithful service, and God bless you. Eagles mount up. Eagles take flight. God bless you. Have a good night. Amen. All right. God bless you.
in my salvation. Of my life, and whom shall I be afraid? And that's why I praise Him for His amazing grace. I take time out every day and sing, worthy is He. Hallelujah. I'm living.